You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Look at the studio's been upgraded a little bit. It's a little fancier, huh?
Fancier. I feel like we've gone back in time.
I mean, we're more in the gilded age of the Cooligans now.
We're doing the show from a chateau. Okay?
You know what we used to call the studio? The Chateau de Cooligans.
Right, right.
This is what inspired that blank white room.
Shout out to the Lowe's Portofino Bay Hotel here in Orlando, Florida.
Beautiful hotel.
Lovely.
Reminds you of your honeymoon.
Correct.
Many ways. Look, obviously it's not real, but it's a bay, right? With little gondolas, you know? And just like in your honeymoon, you here with me, baby.
Yes. Okay. Bringing back so many great memories.
And let me tell you something. The hotel is shaped almost like a slightly flattened V. Okay. And there's the east wing and the west wing. I'm staying in the east wing.
I'm out in the west wing.
Chris out there gripping on the west side. Hanging out his left side. And let me tell you something. I think you planned it on purpose to be in a different wing than me.
No, this was where I was placed. So if you're not aware, we are in Orlando because we were the MCs.
We just needed to get away a little bit, you know.
Y'all was stressing us out. Our voices sound a little hoarse because we were the MCs.
Someone laughed at that. You didn't, but someone out there laughed at that just now.
All right. Some people have standards and some people don't.
Yeah, those are my people if you don't.
We were the MCs for the Premier League Fan Fest out here in Orlando. We're not doing the show live as we normally would on a Monday because we have our flights heading back home. But we said we got to do the show, so let's do it. From a place that kind of looks like Italy.
Right. And every room is named after a Ninja Turtle. They got Michelangelo. They got Donatello. It's pretty dope.
No, we're in the Bernini conference room. Shout out.
It's actually Bernini.
Bernini. Oh, that's a Bellini.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. You said Bellini, all right? Because we know what we want. You know what? In fact, bring us the No, there's no one here.
This is a boozy brunch.
Yeah. They're going to play Taylor Swift, but the dance versions, and we're going to get on this table, okay?
It's been a...
A blast.
A blast.
You know who hit me up?
I don't know who hit you up.
Who I forgot. I say that as a hypothetical.
Why don't you just tell me who hit you up rather than doing this process?
You never met me. And two, is that more fun?
It really
is. Than the audience being like, I do wonder who hit him up. A good friend of ours, Giles Barnes, who we forgot to hit up.
Oh, that's right.
He was like, what? Y'all in Orlando and didn't message me? I'm like, oh, oops.
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 You know what? I mean, to be fair, we haven't really had time to really.
We can't hang out with nobody.
Hang out with anybody.
You want to hang out with us? You need to score against Manchester United. That's the only way we can spend time with you, bro.
Okay. So you figure that out.
All right. So you got some homework to do on your end.
Yeah, so, you know, it's been very, very busy. Obviously, very early call times. We're up at essentially 4 a.m.
Exhausted.
And tired. Yeah, I mean, there's no other way to put it. But, you know, the show must go on. Mm. We must do our jobs. And it's been, an unbelievable experience. I mean, we hosted the Fan Fest in Philly, and this time around, NBC and the staff and everybody, the whole crew, Rebecca Lowe, the two Robbies, Tim Howard, I'm more than ever. They were like, all right, y'all, Y'all are part of the squad.
Well, yeah, the last time was the first time. And, you know, they were like, I don't know about these two. This is how y'all dress professionally? You know?
And now they're like, I know about these two.
Yeah, they just don't dress professionally, okay. But they do their job.
We've given them a second chance, you know? And they've let us down again.
They refuse, bro. But it's been absolutely incredible. Shouts to everyone. And if you are a part of Gully Squad, you might want to buckle up because you're going to get the behind the scenes real deal, no cap recap this week.
Right, we'll get that for you probably about Tuesday night, maybe Wednesday.
Bro, we might hand deliver it to you, so put your address in the comments so you and your social security number.
All the details of what it's like to be the MCs at a Premier League fan fest. Join Gully Squad, Patreon.com/soccercooligans.
That's right. And you know what? I'm going to tell you what Rebecca Lowe's real accent is.
Okay.
Bro, I'm revealing all the truths on No Cap Recap.
Man, it feels like a preview to a reality show. Right. You know what I mean?
I didn't know she grew up with DMX. It's different. Yo, things are. You learn some things out here, bro.
Rebecca Lowe. She was crip walking with me, yo, bro.
She said she refused to be on the East Side, bro. I was like, damn. Slap the concierge and everything, bro.
So it's going to be dope, so make sure you join the Patreon for that. So as always, look, it's a bummer. We don't have our buttons.
I got you.
It's the Cooligans, buddy. So welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I am Alexis Guerrero's and top of the league.
Again, shout out to Lowe's for letting us use this space out here in Orlando.
The hardware store, bro. They're so dope. They just have this.
Lowe's, I mean, it's spelled a little differently. But nah. Lowe's, it's the same. Is it the same owners of the movie theater?
No.
Chain.
No.
No, it isn't?
No, no. Yeah.
Wait, why wouldn't you can't have
Spider-Man behind
us? I'm just saying, no. You can't have movie theater and a hotel. What?
You own too much. We gotta break the company down.
I feel like it might be, especially since we're in Universal and you know
it is not. Lowe's is a very famous hotel brand around the world. And they do a great job. Not the best of bringing coffee into a conference room, if I might add.
No,
there is room for improvement.
It's a whole different department that handles that.
Oh, okay? They just stared at me and were like, I think that's groups. And I'm like, I'm not a group. I'm a guy and I need my coffee. So can you just bring me a goddamn cup of coffee?
Okay.
But other than that, this has been an absolutely exceptional stay. But again, No Cap Recap will get all of it. Let's talk a little bit about the weekend of games. Would you like to start with your favorite team? do you have a new one that you'd like to share with the rest of us?
What is it? The Premier League weekend, which you know we were the MCs of.
Mm. So we had to keep our cool. Gesundheit.
I had a sneeze.
Okay, well, clean up and room barine. What came out of you, dog?
Sneeze?
Jesus. When was the last time you sneezed? 1994.
Was it that bad? Wow, Jesus.
No. I mean, play it up for the audience, will you?
Just literally.
You did improv. You don't remember yes and?
It's just a sneeze. You're just like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
It's 7 years this kid's forgot how comedy works.
Anyway.
Hey, you sneezed. No, I didn't. End scene. Okay, fine. I'm a plumber now.
We can get the despair out of the way. Everton Football Club loses. Who'd they lose to? They lost to West Ham, a team also fighting, in the relegation zone.
Mm.
And
El Sacico, as people were calling it.
People were saying that. Look, they played Southampton the week prior. And then West Ham. So two teams that are desperately fighting for points.
Can we just talk about something that's kind of crazy? You don't pronounce the H. Not you. You're not supposed to in the Royal U.
West Ham?
No. You're in the in Southampton.
Southampton.
But you do in West Ham.
Oh.
But what's up with these?
That's the problem with the
this
English.
This is why,
bro.
I'm glad that Rebecca Lowe isn't really English, because we can have these conversations.
There's
with
no
her.
Consistency with that. You know? That's the problem.
And bro, y'all invented this language, and y'all just screwed up your own rules.
these two matches for Everton. A draw would have been a pretty good result. For the sake of just staying up.
Did everyone else hearing this feel the absolute sadness in that statement? A draw would have been good enough.
You know, I've been talking to a couple Everton fans, out here. And including Tim Howard, who was on stage. I'm just like, hey, man, what's going on? Please help us.
We got to give him a nickname because we keep calling him. People say Timmy Howard, but that's not really a nickname.
No.
We got to give him like TH.
Somebody, there was the sign.
Timmy Hilfiger.
The sign that the Premier League sign guy was holding that said, yes. Him Howard.
Which is incredible.
He is Him Howard.
So. Or as the English would pronounce it, M. Howard.
But
if you laughed at that, you are also my people. Put a flame in the comments.
Huge opportunity to bring some peace of mind to Everton fans.
I feel bad for you, and I've said this because you have to do this once a week where you have to talk about Everton. But I feel even worse for Tim Howard because that man has to find a way on camera to be gracious. And, like, at some point, there's just not enough you can do. What else can you say about this club and what it's going through that makes it feel optimistic? You know what I mean?
Right, right.
It's just got to be difficult.
Yeah, and it's feeling like the problems at the club. I was mentioning it this last week on the show about how, you know, I think you were asking about Frank Lampard and should he be removed and just get a new manager. And for the most part, and I think most Everton fans are beyond the we need to change the manager. It's I think
getting choked up, buddy. Let it go.
I think it's a it's just such a deep rooted problem, and the culture of the club is just in a really bad place. The team is worse than last season, and they did bring in a few players, and you think it would energize the squad a little bit, and.
Are you suggesting that by removing or sacking, if you will, Frank Lampard, that would not solve the issues?
I don't think it would solve it, but I do think for in the short term, some people complain about Lampard's like tactics and all this other stuff. I don't really think that is what the problem is. I said this last week. I don't think he benches players that make mistakes. If players make errors, there seems to be no severe punishment for ruining what little chemistry the squad even has. And that is probably my biggest frustration right now as far as the team not being able to pick up any points whatsoever. They've lost so many games. They look just defeated.
Well, yeah.
This is what it is, bro. I don't know what to tell you.
His body is trying to get it out of him.
I've been screaming for 2 full days and getting up insanely early. So this is what I sound like. Apologies.
Fine. Okay, he doesn't bench players. We're at the point now where you need tactics don't necessarily matter in the sense of, like, we need to play beautiful football, blah, blah, blah. You're halfway through the season officially.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's survival mode. Now it's park that bus, grind out ugly points. You know, if some of you just remembered prom night. But you grind out some ugly wins. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get any point you can and try to survive and beat the other teams that are also in the same predicament. Which brings me to my next point. Or I have 2 questions for you. The first one is a yes or no. That's it. I don't want anything else. Is Frank Lampard the guy to do what I just said, to grind out those points, get this team to survive the drop?
The answer is, I guess, no. I mean, I'm closer to no than yes, but I do think it's a more complex question.
This isn't about fixing the club. This isn't about fixing the issues. It's just surviving the drop.
Right.
Can Frank Lampard simply get this team, will this team, inspire this team to just survive the drop?
No.
Okay. Okay. No, no. Hold on. My next question is, did the club wait too long to sack him then? Because now they don't have whoever they bring in doesn't have a January transfer window to possibly get that 1 or 2 players. Like, you know, jokingly, people have mentioned, KG mentioned this, I believe, on the Don Robbie channel. He was jokingly mentioned, send McTominay to Everton. I actually think that's an absolutely incredible idea. That's the type of player you need. Someone who plays really well for Scotland, maybe isn't at the level of what you need to play in Erik ten Hag's style, but perfect for the situation that Everton are in. He guts you forward. He puts in a shift. He's a strong player. He plays with a lot of gusto. He can inspire this team, and he's a defensive midfielder, which you desperately need. Is that not the type of, are you not missing that opportunity by having waited with Frank Lampard as long as you have?
So now you're asking a broader question about the club, and so there's no way to answer that question and really put a large portion of the responsibility on Frank Lampard.
No, I don't think I am. I don't think I'm asking you.
You're talking
to do
about Scott McTominay is not saving anything.
Okay, but what I'm saying is he's the type of player you need.
He is not.
Okay, well, I disagree.
He's 100% not. And it's not. I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm just saying it has nothing to do with Scott McTominay.
Forget McTominay. The point I'm making is, did Everton wait too long to sack Lampard?
No,
if you're saying
no,
he's not the guy to save
no,
the job.
Because it has nothing to do with the manager. So it doesn't matter if they waited. They could have waited 8 years. They could have waited 15 minutes. It has nothing.
You don't think a guy like in the Mourinho ilk, a Sam Allardyce, can't come in and just save this
bro,
team?
Bro, you're lost in this simply a manager can come in and fix everything.
No. I'm not asking you. I literally said not fix the team. Just survive the drop. Do a 4-4-2.
They can't. It doesn't matter. They can't score. They can't score goals. Has nothing to do with the defense. They're Everton for the first what 10 weeks of the season were one of the better defensive teams. They weren't giving up many goals.
Mm-hmm.
So it has nothing to do. I mean, look, they give up goals when they really should not. Overall, this is why I think the bigger issue is. Everton have a terrible problem with decision making, and I've mentioned this before. They're not playing as a unit. The players themselves don't seem to trust each other. I was picking on Damari Gray. Damari Gray occasionally takes too many touches. Doesn't find the right pass. Yes, he'll score a banger here and there, but throughout the 90 minutes of a match, he's occasionally making like 6 or 7 mistakes. Same thing with Anthony Gordon. There's certain players. Onana to me is probably the best player.
He's certainly one you could build around.
And he's to me, he makes the best decisions and takes positive touches, and shields the ball, defends with a lot of heart.
Also saucy. Don't forget that.
There's just the players are making poor decisions over and over, and I don't know why they are not being penalized with not getting as many minutes as they are. Try things out, and that's my frustration with Frank Lampard. But there have been so many managers. How many examples do you need of like the club kind of listening to the fan base and being like, get this guy out of here? They do it, and they're still in the same exact position.
I think that's a mistake. You never listen to the fan base, and I'm sorry for everyone listening. But there's a reason why none of you are, managing a club. Okay. There's a reason why we're not managing clubs. It's because those people get paid to make those decisions.
I mean, it's easy. Look. It's easy to say that. What do you mean? Like,
what was it? Gattuso? Who were they trying to bring in that they didn't want? They spray painted the building.
No, wasn't it a Portuguese manager? There was it wasn't an Italian manager. I forgot the guy's name, but I think it was a Portuguese manager.
Yeah, but they were like, "That's a mistake. We want Frank Lampard." Well, hold that.
Sure. Who spray painted
that? It's your fault.
I'm in the Everton bubble on Twitter, and nobody's really.
What are the four of you saying?
There are not people screaming their heads off about we got to get rid of Frank Lampard.
You guys saw the sign.
Even at the signs at the fan fest, somebody held up a sign that says sack the board.
Which I was like,
it's
why
getting
is it?
So bureaucratic. They're like literally looking at like who
profit
is,
and loss, who's profit
the,
and loss sheet.
Who's the executive assistant for? Yeah, yeah. for every,
yo, who answers the phones, bro? You gotta go too.
We need new blood or whatever. It's getting it's getting to the point where how people generally only vote in presidential elections,
mm-hmm.
and that's all they really care about. Now people are like, who is my borough president?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, who is my council person so that I can contact them?
Wait till you see what we do with this comptroller. He gotta get out, bro.
You know, when the fans of the club know too much about the club, this is not a good sign.
I've always said this. When you know more than just like the manager and the director of football, right? Like, or the person who makes like, transfer decisions. When you know more than that, Bro, something bad happened.
Not a good sign at all.
Bro. Yo, you're like, yo, this COO, bro, can we sit down and talk about this?
So, look.
Is this an executive review?
It's bad, man. It's really, really bad. And if the look, I think Frank Lampard, is it a possibility that he can keep the team up? Yes, I do. The only way that I think that happens is if he just says, yo, some of my players are making too many mistakes, or being too selfish with the ball, or whatever, and just say we're gonna have to try something else. Like, bring in an academy player that might be able to do something a little bit different. And it's risky, yes, because they're fighting for points and they could end up in the championship. But we've had enough examples of a body of work of what these players are capable of and what they're doing, that there has to be some sort of consequence. Maybe it'll knock some sense into some of the players to trust. Just pass it to your damn teammate. Not take too many touches. Not try to save the club as an individual. Stuff like that. Those are the things that get me so frustrated as an Everton fan. Just like, yeah, giving up goals. I'm like, it doesn't even hurt me anymore. I'm like, all right, yeah, it happened again. But it's just like,
damn,
why
you
did
at that point?
Why did we? How did we get here? Why did we make a dumb foul, an unnecessary foul? Why did it? Just constant poor decision after poor decision. And you watch Arsenal Manchester United. We're watching that. It's just like time after time. Like even the goal that the first goal, Rashford's goal.
Mm. Incredible goal.
Incredible goal. But one thing, what made me envious
is the fact that all the players were going, let's go, let's go, let's
Odegaard,
go.
Odegaard, captain of the team. Odegaard is like,
Shaka, everybody.
Literally like, forget it, let's go. Everybody, get the ball at center circle, let's go, let's keep moving. They weren't even thinking about it. It was an absolute golazo.
Let them celebrate, who cares?
They were immediately focused on the rest of the match, and that is the attitude that leads to that, you know, the game-winning goal in a late winner for Nketiah. And Everton do not have that. They don't have characters like that. Maybe Seamus Coleman is, like, the closest to that.
He's old, though.
But, sure, he's old. That's it. Oh, you don't listen to old people.
Bro,
you know.
Dusty,
but it's not, you know, it's not inspiring them. And you mentioned, oh, Scott McTominay can come in and inspire. No, he's not going to do that either. So that
I just mentioned that as an example of someone that you can bring in January.
It's just a terrible example.
I don't think so.
I'm saying he's a fine player. When you talk about his leadership role on the team, I hope, just like you were laughing at Alexis's terrible joke earlier, I hope people laugh at that, because that is a ridiculous thing to be saying.
Also, wasn't a terrible joke. I hope you're enjoying it. I think you're wrong. But anyway, I have my own how are Everton doing meter, okay? And this is how I figure out how good are Everton right now, or are they just losing but playing well, right? And here's how the meter works. Christian does something. Whenever a player makes a mistake on a team, Christian goes, no, right? He does that a lot. Now, generally in a match of 90 minutes, you hear about 2 to 3 no's.
Right.
This previous match, it was closer to 5, and that's almost double. That's a lot of no's.
My
no-ometer
is through the roof, bro.
If you look at the green screen, no-ometer is coming from the west. the west side of the building. So, yeah, they are in the mud, and it's not great. And, again, we're going to have to start this again. This is now the second year in a row where week after week after week, I have to ask, are Everton going to be relegated?
No, they're not going to be relegated. What else am I going to say? But they're not. Look.
Do you honestly have confidence that they won't?
Well, something's going to happen. Either Lampard, look, and while we're even having this conversation right now, it is a possibility Frank Lampard could be sacked. I've heard that is sort of in the works, or that Frank Lampard will know his fate soon. But I think the financial issues for Everton, if they go to the championship, would be so dire that they're going to do everything humanly possible to not.
Right. So again, new stadium opening.
Right, and that's the thing. So they have a lot of financial obligations, and yeah, opening a new stadium while in the championship would not be ideal. They would lose so much money, You know, fans are saying sack the board. They're saying, you know, they want Mashiri to sell the club and all this stuff. And there's been a weird week, because we were talking last week about things, you know, the board not going to Goodison Park for the match. It turns out
that woman being put in a headlock, it may not be true.
Yeah, it may not be true. And there was some sort of something put out that maybe to make the fans like look bad. I don't know. It's all speculative. You know, Ian Wright even apologized because he kind of went with the story and kind of chastised Everton fans. And then he kind of, you know, retracted it and said, like, he apologized because, you know, he didn't know. He thought that was true, but there hasn't really been any.
It was reported by a couple of people, but I think it was all stems from the one report.
Right, right. So there was no confirmation that this ever happened. Yeah, it's a weird time, but you know, I know that Everton fans and the club itself don't want any of this stuff to be happening. But again, there are people who have people on the board who have been at the club for a very, very long time, and you know, maybe it's just past them. Maybe they haven't adapted to the modern game and it's finally caught up to this club. So. You know, I think the way forward is to, you know, just the way like when Pep got to Manchester City, the club sort of the energy of the club completely changed and the philosophy. And that's what Everton needs. They need some
Guardiola.
They need whether it's a manager, whether it's someone higher up to really instill some sense of a philosophy and values and say like, this is how we're going to play. And you realize like how kind of important that is. You see that no matter who is managing Arsenal always play the same way because their fans expect the way the team plays to be similar all the time.
Yeah, Wenger instilled that, and now that's become a defining feature of the club, similar to Johan Cruyff changing Barca.
Right, right. So that's the kind of the main idea. Like the Everton does not have that. They brought in manager after manager that play. Let's play like this. Oh no, let's play like this. And that doesn't work. All it does is really upset fans and eventually lead to failure.
If it doesn't work. If it works, then yeah. Because if imagine Cruyff's system didn't work, they'd be like, oh, we're doing it.
No, the point I'm making is that constantly changing is right. What doesn't work.
Right.
That's really it. So if you have a successful system, you stick with it.
You haven't had a successful system.
I mean, 25 years ago, there was a successful system, and then it stopped working.
Well, then systems have to change.
They do have to change. I'm clearly saying to constantly change the culture of the team and how the team plays will never lead to success. That's obvious. Constantly changing. It's like a...
Well, no, because if a system doesn't work and then you change it and that doesn't work, then you got to change it. You can't stick with something that doesn't change, that doesn't work for the purpose of just not changing.
And I'm not saying that...
Well, you kind of are.
I'm not saying to... the example I'm saying... So if Everton were successful in the 70s and 80s, and then
I'm going to need y'all to really think hard at the picture.
And Everton then they being stopped successful. Being successful.
Right.
Of course, you're going to change something.
Right.
But if the philosophy and values and morals of the club were successful, and then you bring in somebody that it didn't work once, and then you try to get, oh, wait, that didn't work either, and then this doesn't work either. Man, Everton have had, what, 8-9 managers in the last 6-7 years. I mean, that's a clear example of you're going to constantly fail.
Right. I also, I get your point, but I think it doesn't hold as much merit as what you're saying. I think you can look back and now say with, you know, hindsight being 2020, we changed too much. But in that moment, A wasn't working, you go to B. B's not working, you got to go to C. C's not working, we're like, shit, now we got to go to D. So in some way, yes, I get what you're saying, but that's being able to look back and sort of give like a bird's eye view of everything that's happened. That said, the one thing that I think is missing is there's no way to define what Everton is. You know what I mean? You can't say like, yo, Everton plays this way. Arsenal, You can. Manchester United, even, you can.
Right.
And I think that's a great game to go to next because it led to me being happy.
Yeah, it was a little bit different than
The no-ometer was shut down, bro. Right. We didn't need it. FanFest was a lot of fun, but you know, you work hard. You work for a couple hours. We're on our feet. We're running back and forth from the stage to the crowd. We're talking to everyone. You get 12 hours of that, you're exhausted. You know what I want to do when I'm exhausted? I want to sit down and I want to relax and I want to feel good. You know how I like to relax and feel good? I pop open a nice Coors Light.
That is always the move. After an exhausting, we put in a lot of work. People think we don't really work.
Bro, it's chaotic, bro. We got someone in our ear as we're trying to get some bits out to make people, you know, have a good time. And you're hearing 30 seconds, 20 seconds, hurry up, get off. You're going to be on camera. We don't want you on camera. You're going to ruin the show. So it's exhausting. It's chaotic. But that's why you need it. You need the release of that Coors Light.
Very much so. I mean, we've had a couple great dinners out here in Orlando.
Beautiful.
And I said, every time it pairs well with a nice Coors Light.
Hey, we're getting this nice smoked salmon. You know what goes well with that? Half the second half of the Coors Light I have left. Because it took too long to get that salmon.
Okay, so as a reminder, when it's time to unwind, Coors Light is the beer I reach for. So if you want to hit reset, grab the beer that's made to chill.
It's literally made to chill. The can turns blue. The little mountain turns blue when it's ready to go.
Okay, it's right there, right on the bottle, right? So get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
All right, celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. It was one of those things where I did not circle this match as an Arsenal fan. I did not circle this match with this is the one that defines the season. Mm-hmm. But very quickly after the first whistle, it kind of felt a little bit about – it felt a little bit of a – of what is it, like a statement match. Does that make sense? Because you realize Manchester United is coming in with incredible form. Right? Erik ten Hag's system, and as you said on mic, which got the crowd really going, is once they got rid of Ronaldo.
Oh, yeah.
Things seemed to be a little different. And let me tell you something. I heard boos coming from every angle. I was like, okay, question, getting them going, bro. But you were 100% right, and we've talked about that on this show. Once they got rid of Cristiano Ronaldo, it seems that you know, the team is solidified in a way. There's the canter in the locker room has seemed to have gone away. And you saw Manchester United, where at the beginning of the season when they beat us, that was absolute shocking. No one could understand how that could happen because the team wasn't playing very well. And Arsenal had begun the season incredibly well. Walking in, I still felt confident that Arsenal could at the very least get a point. But it became very clear, like, oh, wait, this Manchester United team is for real. You know, they are at our home where they don't always win. It's not necessarily an easy place for them to play. Mm-hmm. But they came in, and even though we kind of bossed it up a little bit in the beginning, we weren't really, we weren't really causing them problems. We were getting them on their back heel. But Manchester United, out of nowhere, you know, Rashford is just that's another person right now than who was in that team last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were talking about it before the game, and I told you, I'm like, look, as long as Rashford doesn't score, just hold him, to just keep him goalless. I think our Arsenal should win this game pretty comfortably. And, y'all didn't listen to me because he...
Bro. Why didn't we just
I mean,
listen?
It was a great goal, too. I was so impressed, not just...
From distance, just really put his boot into it,
but
bro.
The ball went outwards and then in, and it was a low-driven shot, but
he also bounced the ball between his two feet, completely confused. I forget what defender it was. Partey, our best midfielder, but the defensive midfielder.
But Rashford only got the ball from a mistake from Partey.
Yeah, it was a turnover.
It was a bad pass. So a rare mistake and in your own half and then magic from Marcus Rashford. But the...
Well, it goes to show, man, he's a different player. He needed to be able to sort of walk that ball in last season.
Sure.
His confidence wasn't where it is today to try a shot like that. He gave himself a little bit of space and he completely, literally kicked. It was the absolute perfect shot.
Yeah. Yeah, it was impressive. So it did feel like, Arsenal have not been down in matches in many games.
No, especially at home.
But they were losing. I forgot the other game that they were down and also won that game. So, part of me, even when they gave up that goal and I saw all the players and I saw Odegaard being like, let's go, let's move on. I was like, you know what? This is a sign. This is a sort of demonstration of what championship winning teams are, which is you are losing in a game that the world kind of expects you to win, and you win anyway. Mm-hmm. That is those you need those kind of trials in a season to really kind of test your mettle.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, 100%. It refines your mettle. It solidifies your mettle. And what I saw is when Odegaard and Xhaka and everyone is saying, come on, come on, come on, what I realize is they're not a team that tries to win that game. They're a team. Arsenal is a club, especially with the squad out on the pitch. Their job is to make that system successful. And what I mean by that is when they're saying, come on, come on, come on, they're not saying, come on, we're better than this team. They're not saying, come on, we need to beat them. They're not saying, come on, we need 3 points. They're saying, come on, we've done all the things we need to do to score, and we haven't scored yet. So let's just get back to what we're supposed to do. Players are supposed to be here. You're supposed to make this run. You're supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do this. And I think that's why they do not stop. That's why I don't think they gut it out. I think that's why they don't stop trying to score at the end of matches unless they're absolutely winning, obviously, and then you just run into a corner. It's because they're trying to continuously refine the system which they play. And all of this means that they are absolutely bought in to what Mikel Arteta has instituted as a manager. They are completely bought in. Remember, you would see Mikel Arteta on the sideline kind of, you know, gesticulating and going crazy when things weren't working perfectly, or people saying he was overmanaging. He's not. He's trying to remind players, here's where you're supposed to be. Here's what you're supposed to do. If we do this correctly, at the end of the 90 minutes, we will have more goals than them. That doesn't matter. Forget what they're doing. They need to correct to what we're doing. And now you're seeing the players on the pitch doing that as well. And that, to me, I've spent the greater part of this season reminding people I've been correct about Mikel Arteta, but I've also not really sat here and said, yo, we're going to win the league, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I've joked about it, but I've not really said it. I'm still not ready to say because we got to play City twice, but what I am ready to say is this team, I'm willing to admit, is not the team that even I thought was playing incredibly well at the beginning of the season. This is a completely bought-in squad. This club is at a different level. Everyone has the same goal in mind when you're out there. For Eddie Nketiah to come in the way he has with Gabriel Jesus out,
yeah,
we joked about it. Yo, this might not be an easy start for Gabriel Jesus when he comes back. And you guys can sit there and argue whether you do or don't, but I can't think of anything more beautiful than Eddie Nketiah getting this opportunity and absolutely bossing it. He's a completely different player than Jesus, but my God, is he good.
Yeah, but look, he's becoming a bit of a clutch player, right? He scored,
very much.
Was it FA Cup? He got not a hat trick or something. He got a bunch of goals.
He got, I think, a brace.
So
I'm really bad at remembering that kind of stuff.
His confidence has been great. I mean, for him to score that late goal was great. Then Saka's goal was spectacular.
I mean, as well. And he did the Rashford celebration.
Yeah, no, but
because that's his house, bro.
Right, right. But a couple of things. I mean, I want to talk about Manchester United a little bit. I thought the decision to start Weghorst was odd. I said it when I saw the lineup. I'm like, this is a big game. And I don't exactly know why the guy that you just got a couple of weeks ago
started him as opposed to who.
So I don't know. I mean, Rashford, I usually think of Rashford to be up top, and it's not like he didn't play well.
I think you want Rashford in the wings because he causes more problems there for.
He's played at the nine sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, no, but I think specifically against Arsenal. Arsenal's left back and right back go really far forward.
Yeah.
You could really hurt him with Rashford's ability to get that ball and not even the speed, his trickery, really.
I think Weghorst is in that squad. He's in the starting lineup because he's tall.
Yeah,
and maybe
corners, long throw-ins.
Yeah, yeah. Look, it didn't really work out. I mean, Weghorst is tall, but you know, Saliba and Gabriel they're big dudes too. So I think that even when they tied the game, Lisandro Martinez ties it. And I liked even seeing that. He there was a lot of confidence there.
No grace whatsoever in that goal. That is an Argentinian construction worker.
Was that his first goal for Manchester United?
I believe so. Kissed the badge, did the whole nine.
Kissed the badge. He also, you know, has to deal with the comments of about his height. And he scores a header.
Yeah.
And he's just like, hey.
I was so mad. I'm like, I can't believe we gave up a header to this guy. But, I mean, it's not really like the header you would imagine. It wasn't the header Nketiah scored.
Right. Right.
It wasn't that. Wan-Bissaka, who's been playing incredibly well. And I always just say, man, I love this dude. And he played badly. And I'm like, I still kind of like him. You know? but, yeah, I mean, he played incredibly well. But, boy, when he was just standing there waiting for the ball to get to him, and then all of a sudden the back of Eddie Nketiah's head is in front of him. You saw his eyes go, no. The noometer shot up in that moment.
So, yeah, that was a big moment. But, again, obviously the man of the match, Eddie Nketiah. And for him to score that goal at the end and that back heel, I was like, yo, is this Giroud
It was
Giroud.
Good call.
Goal.
Yeah. It was very much in the Giroud-ish line. I think it was a shot. Zinchenko sent it in. Trossard, great start. Great first match.
Looked pretty good.
Not a start, obviously, but, yeah, looked really well. Right in the system. Drove at defenders, which is what you want. But, yeah, the shot, I believe, came from Odegaard. And Eddie Nketiah just changed its direction. It probably would have been stopped by De Gea, but Eddie Nketiah just slightly nudged it with his foot over a diving De Gea. And when I saw that, everyone's like, it's offside. It was clearly onside.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I saw that, I was like, those are the things that would never go for us in seasons past.
Sure.
Those are the things that would come against us. They would never go for us. We're getting those lucky bounces, and I hate to take the skill away from Eddie Nketiah, but it was really, like, when you look back at it, it's lucky that he was in that moment, that he was in that spot, that he was able to lift his foot up, that he wasn't offside. All those things, just absolute incredible. I mean, this man is playing at his peak. What do we do when Gabriel Jesus comes back? Can these guys play together? I said at the beginning of this season, when I saw them both in Baltimore and in Orlando, where we are right now, they played incredibly well together, Gabriel Jesus and Eddie Nketiah. Do you use that opportunity to give Martinelli a little bit of a break? Do you use that opportunity to give Saka a little bit of a break as we get into the second half of the season? I am excited to see what happens when Gabriel Jesus gets back. But if they're both, you know, trying to compete for the starting up top, bro,
yeah,
it's not as simple as, all right, Eddie, back to the bench. It's just not that simple.
I agree.
This man is playing himself into the starting lineup.
I
wished it was like playoffs in a Super Bowl type game. You know what I mean? Because you know what I mean? Like, as you get to the end of the season, you start to be like, oh, who's going to be the starter in the playoffs?
Sure.
We don't get that in this, bro.
All right, I don't know.
It sucks about who's the stupid start the single table, bro. You need single. Nah,
you got a Super Bowl. You got the Europa League final, bro.
Who gonna stop us now? I don't even care what we do there, because it looks like top four is at the very least guaranteed. It'd be a wild fall from grace.
No, I mean, I would if Arsenal win Europa, I would at the very least be incredibly proud of Matt Turner. So that's where I'm.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Matt Turner.
For some success,
yeah, Matt Turner would have stopped that goal from. I'm gonna keep saying it, but right now Arsenal halfway through the season at 50 points. Pep Guardiola said he can see Arsenal getting 100 points this season, which would be absolutely insane. Are you gonna come to the parade with me if we win?
I mean, sure, why not? What are you gonna do? I got nothing to do.
No, I'm pretty sure you're going to be having a baby.
I'll bring the baby.
Bring your pregnant wife. You have the baby in England. Look at that, huh? You got yourself a little out in case this country, in case the people I've met here in Orlando continue to vote.
Okay, a couple other things I want to just make sure we talk about as far as the Premier League weekend. Leeds, they draw against Brentford. This was a game I think a lot of people were paying attention to, especially at the Fan Fest. Matthew Lewis, Neville Longbottom from Harry Potter was here as well. He hosts a Leeds podcast. But he was a lot of Leeds fans came out here.
Lot,
so
yeah.
it was pretty cool. And he, a lot of Leeds fans are getting they're done with all the Leeds United States or whatever. They are A couple of people said Jesse out.
Yeah,
they're kind of done with him.
And we punished them by not throwing a shirt at him.
they wanted points. They wanted 3 points in this game because they're
Brentford's in eighth. You're what, 16th, 15th? I don't know what they were before. I'm assuming they were in 16th, but. Relax. Of course you want 3 points. It's Brentford. Brentford's played incredibly well. They're top half of the table.
They're not winning games that they could win. I mean, Leeds. They're getting a lot of draws. So I can see where Leeds fans are finally getting kind of frustrated. But I would say that they're not having as severe a problem as Everton, who can barely create chances. But they're just not really putting them away. And maybe this is where you're seeing the loss of Rafinha, after going to Barcelona. This is like... They can't just like unlock defenses a little bit like they did last season. So,
and look, they've got Nottingham Forest coming up next, which is a game they can absolutely win.
Fans will be very angry if they cannot win that game.
But then after that, they've got a back-to-back home and away against Manchester United.
Okay.
So,
all right, 60 points there.
I'll just make this sound. And then you guys can figure out what that means. And then Everton after that. So easy 3 points.
Absolute madness. Okay. I want to talk about a couple things before we wrap up. Juventus.
Juve.
Juve are they're down bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
by about 15 points.
They apparently they found what's the exact allegation
here.
Or
the issue? Italian Football Federation, FIGC, announced on Friday evening that Juventus has been deducted 15 points for financial irregularities and false accounting in relation to historic.
Was Alexis managing the books?
in relation to historic transfer. First of all, why are you looking at my books? In exchange for players between clubs. So in other words, during the transfer, they were saying like, hey, we bought this guy for 20, right? Wink. The club stands accused of pumping up its balance sheet by deliberately inflating player valuations during transfers in order to boost, quote, capital gains. The FIGC prosecutor Giuseppe Cine had requested a 9-point penalty be applied. The federation is due to publish the reason for its ruling within the next 10 days.
Okay.
So they were like, yo, do 9 points. And they're like, hold that nine. We're going to drop another six on top of that.
This happened to Juve a couple years ago where they got sent to the
Calcio Polio or whatever it was called, where they were found to be threatening and bribing officials.
Right.
And then they locked the officials in the locker room.
And then they were sent to Serie B, right?
Yeah.
So this is, you know, I as far as like, you know, I'm not a Juve fan, but, you know, Weston McKennie is there. So as a USMNT fan, I'm just like, get my baby Weston out of there, okay? He's working for criminals.
once again, the rumors of Weston Arsenal are hotting up.
Hotting up?
Yeah. shouts to TikTok for having a heating up button and never once clicking it for the coolians, man.
Yeah, bro. What? Oh, somebody on TikTok.
Nobody slipped up and hit the button for us?
You see the button right there, bro. Under our username. Hit it.
By the way, can we look at the ads that I'm being fed here? Oh, it just went away just as I said that.
Oh, yeah.
Here it is. So they're giving me a shirt which looks like it comes from the set of Game of Thrones.
Right. Like it's like a tunic. Not a tunic. It's more of a
tight.
It's when you play any kind of medieval game, like the clothing that you start with in a game.
Yeah,
that's
This is it. It looks like I'm a poor Lannister.
Right.
And on the shirt is printed in the Game of Thrones font. It said, "That's what I do. I fix stuff and I know things."
Damn,
those are two things I do not do, dude.
Damn, how do they know your catchphrase?
what kind of shit is this, bro? And it said, "Don't piss off old people."
Whoa,
the older we get, the
it's purposely blurry. So.
Yeah, so I have to click on it. Bro, what kind of
that's what you get for making fun of Seamus Coleman, dog.
Yo, dog, what kind of shit is being thrown at me, bro?
So, but the main thing here is that there were a lot of players that did go to Juve with the thought of you know, kind of renewed success for the club. They've been, the last couple years, they've been struggling. They went from winning, what, six Scudettos in a row, if I'm not mistaken.
Which is so boring.
I mean, it is what it is. They are very good, and they dominate Italy. But the last couple of years has clearly been the Milans, Inter and Milan. So what does this mean for, I mean, not just Weston McKennie, but players like Paul Pogba, who just got there. Players like Angel Di Maria.
Hasn't even played yet. Paul Pogba's like, another? What?
Angel Di Maria. And then Arsenal fans were making fun of Dusan Vlahovic for picking Arsenal, for picking Juve instead of going to Arsenal because he was heavily linked.
And he was like, I want to play Champions League football. Well?
Well. That's that. Is Juve got knocked out in the group.
Should we send Vlahovic maybe the video game FIFA? Because he said he wanted to play Champions League. Bro, get in there. No, Champions League is in PES, right?
Champions League? What do you, like the branding of it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's in PES, okay. Which is not PES anymore now. It's eFootball.
Literally nobody plays it.
So, unless you want to sponsor the show, then we will.
People rather play Football Manager than eFootball.
Yeah, okay? But Football PES had a moment in the mid-2000s.
Yeah.
In the mid-thoughts.
I was more of a Winning 11.
Ooh.
I'm an OG.
Though. I was a Subateo or whatever that thing is called. Okay. Remember that? And all the machine, all the guys that were running around?
Okay.
That
so
was my shit.
So
Napoli wins this. Napoli is now guaranteed to win Serie A. You are 12 points ahead midway through the season. Yeah, it's you.
Napoli's
you good?
Napoli's pretty good.
Napoli's incredible.
But Juve got knocked out of Champions League right in the group stage, so they're done. And next season, it's going to be a brutal time. I mean, and look.
They're in Europa, and they're still in Coppa Italia.
Oh, so they got moved. They qualify for
Europa. Yeah, they qualify for Europa.
But they were in Champions League, obviously. Yeah. So.
And also, by the way, we should also say that there's going to be a very long legal battle about this points deduction. It may not happen in time for their points to be added back, but they are going to fight this thing tooth and nail. And from what I've heard, they're going to lock the opposing lawyers into the locker room. So
until you figure it out.
Uh-huh. Accept my threats, or more threats will be levied against you.
Okay, we should wrap up because we have flights to catch.
That's right.
Again, a reminder, join Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans for our No Cap Recap podcast, so you can hear all about how it went down out here in Orlando Premier League Fan Fest. Again, everybody here, the NBC staff and crew and we had a great time in Philly. And it felt like even more like family this time around. It was very, very awesome. So
absolutely incredible. It was, and I didn't even mention it to you, but went to the wrap party. I was able to swing by, and the everybody was very complimentary about what we add to the NBC Premier League Fan Fest. But I was complimentary back and saying, you know, getting the opportunity to do this and to be a part of it for a second time has been absolutely incredible. So thank you.
And shout out to all the fans that came up to us. A lot of people asked us for photos. Most of the time they were like, you know, screaming, Tim, Tim, Tim.
Yeah, Tim, can we get a photo? And I'm putting my arm around
like,
him.
I'm like, hey, I'm right here. I don't know why you
He don't want you, bro, so you're going to have to deal with me.
A lot of people came up to us very complimentary as well. So thank you to everybody who said hello. Just a really, really dope time. I mean, you know, we never know. We don't see the faces of the people listening to the podcast.
Right.
So it's nice to meet people in person.
It is. And it's nice to hear that, you know, people tell us, oh, I listen to the show at work, or I listen to it with my kids in the car, or I listen and, you know, you need to reassess if you do that. But I listen to it on the way to work. Like, that kind of stuff means the world to us, just to let us know, you know, how we can be a part of your routine is so cool. Because, again, we're just two dummies who picked up a microphone and started talking about the sport.
Let's go. Okay. So you know what? Anything is possible. Two idiots kids, like us.
If your kids don't believe in themselves, bro, just let them meet me, bro.
Okay, the bar is incredibly low.
You just gotta walk over it sometimes.
Man, seriously, everybody was really, really dope. Great, great weekend. I can't wait to get some rest because I'm quite exhausted.
Sleeping on the plane?
I slept quite a bit tonight. or last night. I got like, 7 hours, something like that.
Pretty good. I might have did a cool 8.
Okay. So, but I'm still not recovered.
No.
Because after being up, 18 hours, that'll sort of get.
I'm gonna try not to sleep on the plane so I can actually sleep like a lot.
Yeah,
tonight.
I think so too. Right now I'm feeling all right. All right. So, but.
And by the way, we both got to come out here with our wives, and that was a lot of fun. So thank you for that, NBC. We got to hang out. We all went to go to dinner, the four of us. Huh?
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
It was lovely.
Did you have a good time, Christian?
I did have a good time.
Did you have a good time hanging out with me and my wife?
Yeah, your wife is great. So she's great to hang
out. That's all I need to hear. Because if not, it would have just been the four of us: me, you, your wife, and your baby.
Yeah,
in the belly.
This was our baby moon.
Yeah, glad I could be on it.
just a memorable time. The baby.
Because apparently you forgot the invite for the honeymoon. I didn't get to go to that.
The baby had a great time. So kicking all day.
And shouts to Dave, our private tour guide over at.
We'll do that. No, recap.
I do want to say, Dave, you're absolutely incredible. Thank you very much. If you do want to do a private tour, they're not cheap. Again, thank you, NBC. But if you do it, get Dave. Dave knows a lot about the...
At Universal Studios. Yeah, we did a private tour.
No cap recap. Going to hear about it all.
So join the Patreon for all that. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Seriously, from Orlando, from the Lowe's Portofino Bay Hotel.
In the Barini Room.
We absolutely had a great time here. So thank you so much for letting us use the space, and thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Follow us everywhere at Soccer Cooligans, wherever you get social media. I'm sure we're there, and we will see you tomorrow for a Shouts to US. We'll focus on all things American soccer, so we'll get to that tomorrow. All right, everybody, peace.
Love you guys. Oh, here comes our coffee.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.